Ask Brother Jim Danicky of Sacramento to open our brother's Freeman's service for us. Thank you.
Our grand, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're here on hallowed ground. Please grant us the ability to be reverent and to be understanding, to understand what Brother Freeman is here to give us, the spiritual food. Please grant his blessing to Brother Freeman, and also grant the blessing to us as we partake of this most important spiritual food. And we ask this favor in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Well, we've been rejoicing with all the spiritual food and fellowship and having so many being able to join with us in these spiritual blessings. We're thankful to Brother Freeman for coming all this way and serving us. We've appreciated his service through the years and the many years we've known him and had fellowship with him and his wonderful family. And we'll now ask the Lord's blessing upon his service as he speaks to us on the topic spiritual development. Spiritual development. God bless you, Brother Freeman.
Thank you, Brother Dan. And brethren, I would be remiss. I was the brethren at Metro Detroit, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, wanted their love conveyed to the friends here at Seattle. Spiritual development. We heard quite a bit this morning on this contractual. All of this we heard this morning, and we're just going to kind of a little bit more of this. Spiritual development. Living the consecrated life is a daily development of Christian character. Growing more and more into the likeness of our spiritual head. Just as the twig is planted, nourished, and cared for, it deepens its roots, spreads its branches, and becomes a vigorous, healthy fruit bearer. Uncared for, it shrivels, dries up, and dies. Just so it is and the spiritual world. This developing a Christian character is a life work to be accomplished by patient continuance and well-doing. Romans 2:7. We're using the title Spiritual Development, and now we're going to look, it's in 2 Peter is what we're going to focus on. If ye do these things, part of our contractual obligation. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Here, the way is made plain if you do these things, and victory is assured that you will never fall. But first of all, we're going to look at some of the parallel passages, if ye do. In James 1:22 and 1:22-25, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You will notice here that the apostle is showing that the one who is merely a hearer of the word, that is, a justified or even consecrated believer, not going on to do the truth, would be practicing self-deception, which is the worst form of being deceived, as shown if ye do these things. In 1:22 of James, note again, well, no, this is in Romans 2:13, I apologize. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 2:13. In Matthew 7:21-27, again, it's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Note the apostle's statement in James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I expect in this, as you notice in this passage, how the apostle rings the changes on the source of blessing. It comes as a result of continued activity, that is, doing the work. In John 15:14, our Lord tells us, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Someone may say, I am more than a friend. I am a relative of the Savior, a brother. That is what you say, but what does he say? He says in Matthew 12:50, I believe it is, he says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Remember how our Lord told us what constituted the difference between a wise man and a foolish man in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The difference did not lie in that only one of them heard. They both heard. They both heard. But one put the truth into his life. He acted upon what he heard. He was a doer. The other dilly-dallied, was indifferent, a fool. The lesson is, if ye do. In 1 Timothy 4:16, the writer here warns us, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." We not only need to watch ourselves, but also to continue in the doctrine. We must not hear the voice of strangers or follow them, as stated in John 10, verses 4 and 5. Someone may ask, "Do you know the Lord?" "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. We must, brethren, do the will of the Lord unto the end. Be thou faithful unto death. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well doing." We shall reap if we faint not, if we do not fall. How often we hear the dear friends giving expression to their joy and their happiness because of their knowledge of present truth. Can it be possible that their joy shall be turned into sorrow? The question is asked. Jesus did not say, happy are ye if ye know these things. No. He said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In John 13:17. So we see it is not enough that we have consecrated ourselves to God as living sacrifices. The Apostle Paul suffered the loss of all things. So it is not enough that we have covenanted to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We must do it. If we prove unfaithful, the obligation will rise up in judgment against us. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, you're familiar with this one, verses 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. If you do these things, it's stipulated in the contract, as our dear brother this morning opened up in the baptismal discourse. It's there for us to see. It's in the contract. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. The security lies in doing. We must do. Someone may say, oh, well, I guess I'm all right. I'm very busy. Well, that is not enough that we are busy doing our own will or the will of any man. We must do these things that have been stipulated in the contract. Let's look at this. If ye do these things, we're going to expand a little bit more, but we're going to go through these quickly, and then we're going to cover them a little bit more at the end here. If you do these things, and from 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read that. Let's begin in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us, the us class, I'm looking at them here, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we begin in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, it's by process of addition, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, and the King James, it's charity, but it's love that we're referring to here. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What is faith? Well, in Hebrews 11:1 from the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the dictionary, I looked up the word. Faith, one, is confidence or dependence on a person, statement, or thing as trustworthy, trust. Well, we know we're not talking about putting our trust in man in whom there is no help, for when his breath depart, that same day his plans perish. Number two is belief in God or in testimony about God as recorded in scriptures or other religious writings. Well, that's out of the dictionary. But our belief is in the Creator of the universe. Hebrews 11:6, and you're very familiar with this one. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. This is not addressed to the world, brethren. We know that. But blessed are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear. And our Lord in Matthew 13 tells us, many righteous men long to see what you see and to hear what you hear and cannot. What a blessing, brethren, to have. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. The world of mankind cannot receive that which, cannot see that which you see and cannot hear that which you hear. In Jude 3, we, as followers of the Master, must earnestly contend for the faith. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. We see that today. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, we must fight the good fight of faith. And here, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy now, 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. It's in doing, dear brethren. And Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. And we know, as we started off, without faith, we cannot please Him. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. faith. Faith is the basis of all God's dealings with us, as well as was with Israel. Our character must be developed through faith. That's out of the comments, and I'm not giving the number, page number, reprint number, that is. Our faith, we're strengthened by test of faith. We are to be judged by faith and not by works. But James tells us something also, that without works, we know how that goes. I heard, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Wes, I think you referred to the household, the welcome to the household of faith, to the dear sister that symbolized her consecration. You know, it's a blessing, it's a joy to have someone coming in, but by the same token, if that consecration was accepted, someone lost theirs. The church is to be developed under the faith covenant. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's totally different from what the world, what will happen at that particular point in time when the world is on trial for life or death. The Almighty God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and they're going to all know Him too, as we know Him now. They're going to all know Him from the least until the greatest. Faith is a matter of growth, and that must be daily. Virtue, the second. Christian fortitude. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Christian fortitude. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? The question is asked. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The answer, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eye a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord, that is reverence the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. It's in doing, dear ones. Knowledge, the third one. What is knowledge? It's a result or product of knowing. Information or understanding acquired through experience, practical ability, or skill. Two, it's the act, process, or state of knowing. Three, deep and extensive learning. A few scriptures. Let's examine a few scriptures here. Proverbs 1:7. The fear, I think we heard something on that this morning, reverence we're talking about here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Here the writer tells us, my people, speaking to Israel, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Habakkuk 2:14 tells us what, though? The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the great deep. That hasn't happened yet, but that's a promise. God cannot lie. He has never broken a promise. Romans 1:28. And even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, what did he do? I'll let you try. Gave them over to a reprobate, thank you, Brother West, mind. 10:2 of Romans. For I bear them record, speaking of the Jews, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The new man in Colossians 3:10 tells us the new man must be renewed in knowledge. We discussed this last evening, 1 Timothy 2:4. Beginning in verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, how many? All. Who will have all men to come to an accurate knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 10:26 tells us, if we sin willfully, that is, after having an accurate knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sins remains. But the world of mankind, and we know eventually that they too are going to be given the opportunity to see and know the truth as we know it today. And we've been extended the invitation to reign with Christ to help our fellow man. What a blessing. God's plan, dear brethren, is all-inclusive. It excludes no one. He didn't come to judge the world at this time during this gospel dispensation. He came to save them. In that scripture in 1 Timothy 2:4, they will have to be brought back to a knowledge of the truth before they are in a position to be judged. We know that the court is not in session. I see you all sitting here. 1 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, do you not know that the saints are going to judge the world and even angels? So the court is not in session. The world is not on trial for life or death at this particular point in time. We're the only ones that are on trial at this particular point in time for life or death. But we seek for what? Glory, honor, and immortality. What a promise. It's beyond my comprehension. But this is the invitation that has been extended to you and I. To reign with Christ, to bless. their fellow man. What a privilege. We're told in 2 Peter 3:18, we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. Number four, temperance. Temperance is the state of quality of being temperate. Habitual moderation, from the dictionary. Calmness, self-control. The principle or practice of total abstinence from intoxicants. But we don't have that problem here. To be temperate means that we observe in moderation in the indulgence of an appetite, especially in the use of intoxicants, which does not apply here. Two, it's characterized by moderation or the absence of extremes, not excessive. That was touched upon also this morning. Philippians 4:5 tells us, Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. First Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. We find the fruits of the Spirit here in Galatians 5:23. Let's read that. Galatians 5:23. Let's begin at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In Titus 2:2, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Fruits of the Spirit. Temperance is very essential to our overcoming. It's required of all runners on the race course. We should practice. This is what we should do. We should practice this daily. Let's go to the next one. Patience. What is patience? Patience is the state or quality, or fact of being patient. Also, the ability to be patient. Patient, possessing or demonstrating quiet, uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance, long suffering. Two, tolerant, tender, and forbearing. Three, capable of tranquility, awaiting results or outcomes. Let's look at a few of those. Luke 8:15. Luke 8:15. 15. And you can look at the context for yourself. I'm just going to read 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The word heart here. This dear sister this morning, and that symbolized the consecration. And part of the contract, as Brother West stated, is my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. This is part of the contract on our part. And then after giving him your heart, Proverbs 4:23 tells us what? Keep thine heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. One of my talks on the heart. My son, give me thine heart, and then tells me to keep it. How can I keep it? I've already given it away. Well, we know what that's all about. He gives it back to us. He gives us back to us as good stewards. And we have the responsibility to keep our hearts with all diligence. The term issue, I'm quite sure, our dear brother, as a counsel, there are two issues there. Even there will be some of us that fall a little short, but thank God that we don't go all the way out. The little flock, they keep it with all diligence. But we know that's one of the issues, and then the other issue is that there's another group, the great company. So the issue has to be decided. And it will be decided keeping our hearts. It will determine where we end up in the kingdom. If we do these things, he shall never fall. 21:19 of Luke. 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Well, let's read. Let's put it in the context here. Let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Chapter 8:25 of the same book, chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience is part of our character development. Patience is developed by delay in answer to our prayers on occasion. Patience is essential in running the Christian race. Patience is exemplified by Abraham. James tells us again, let patience have her perfect work. Patience is needed to develop the fruitage and to obtain the promise. Brother Russell tells us in reprint 1656, 5, no other grace is more needed. Notice how our Lord dealt with Judas. What would we have done? Patience is required to receive the promises. It tells us we rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. But one thing Brother Russell tells us in 5650, reprint 5650, 8 and 9, patience with our weaknesses should be limited. Brethren, I like the thought this morning was given. We're going to fall. I know it's a striving for this brother here each day. Fall, but we've been blessed with that which has been made available to us, the throne of grace and the robe of righteousness. If a man falls 7 times, as the brother stated this morning, but all I do is get up. I keep falling. I keep getting back up. I don't stay there. That's the point. Godliness. Godliness brings persecution. Godliness cannot include harmful gossip, unclean conversation, or disloyal words. Godliness is dependent upon faith and contentment. Brotherly kindness. Proper attitude toward our brethren that are overtaken in a fault. That's kindness. I was first night here, I believe I was discussing with some of the friends. I have a problem in the sense that I have to continually keep before me. Think evil of no man. I was put to the test here just recently. I profess, do I practice what I preach? I returned home on this past Sunday from meeting and after going having dinner in another city. And when I returned, I have my mailbox out front on the street and I have two little planners. And when I came in, back in, I noticed my planter box on the east side of it. I mean, my mailbox on the east side was, someone had backed into it and knocked it down. Well, just prior to that, I had someone cross the street, broke my window, had a golf ball. I was in O'Hare Airport when my alarm went off, and they called me there. But you see, what I'm getting at is, immediately I saw the young man sitting out on the street, and I had to watch myself. With evil surmising, thinking they might have done it. Think evil of no man. Here I am being put to the test. So I have to keep this in front of me. I immediately called next door to my neighbor on my right. She tells me, no, I didn't hear anything. I called across the street, and as I was ringing, the phone was ringing, she picked it up. My doorbell rang. Who was it? The young lady in her mid-20s, something to that effect. Sir, I knocked your planter box down. She didn't live in the neighborhood. But you see, what the lesson here is that I, because of what had transpired previously, Satan stabbing me in the back, trying to go in a direction, thinking evil of someone else. But the young lady, to see that in the world, and eventually that's going to be the world of mankind are going to be like that. And if she said it one time, she said it a dozen times, that she was sorry. I didn't know what to say. She didn't have to come back. But she told me that she was taught by her mother. She could not even go to sleep that night, had she not. And we know that the kingdom, when it's fully established, I mean, you're going to have this love that goes from heart to heart and breath to breath. But my thing was that was Satan. It's a constant battle. It's to fight the good fight. Brethren, it's a striving each day. But I'm thankful for the throne of grace, the robe of righteousness, the merit of our Lord, and all we have to do is to keep it clean. And if we do not keep our hearts with all diligence, then we're cut off. We don't have access anymore to the throne of grace. He will not hear you. Psalm 66:18. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And as we close, brethren, brotherly kindness and love. You can go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So, brethren, as we close, the way is made plain in that scripture that we quoted, if you do these things. Victory is assured that you shall never fall. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Freeman. powerful lessons there for us. Complimenting Brother Freeman's thought expressed this morning. The flesh, the old will and the new will aren't just fighting. They're at war. And things aren't always what they seem, are they? He that ruleth his spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. And don't we want, that's a greater war than the war on terror going on right now. Brother Freeman has selected for his closing hymn, hymn 109. 109. After the prayer, please remain seated for an announcement.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee again with praise, with thanksgiving, thanking You, Father, for the wonderful blessings that have been bestowed upon us here in this convention. Father, we ask for Thy continued blessings upon these dear ones and upon this, the rest of this day. Protect us from the evil one, we pray. Create within us clean hearts and clean minds. Father, we're thankful again for the throne of grace and the robe of righteousness that has been provided through the merit of our Lord. And we ask, Father, for Thy forgiveness where we sin and fall short. And we ask Thy blessings upon Thy dear ones the world over, especially those undergoing special trial and those that are isolated. In the name and merit of our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.